Prayer has been said. We've had so much fun already. So we're going to spend the rest of the time as much as we can focusing on the remaining part of this service. And it is my prayer that the word that you hear, both those of you who are online and those of us that are here, like we've been saying, that the word will bring you knowledge. It will cause you to learn something, and that your knowledge will give you understanding, and that your understanding will lead you to faith, that you will actually start believing in something that you heard, and that faith will lead to application. These are the processes of growth. If you actually believe it, you will act on it. And as you do act on it, that you begin to receive result, which leads to being an overcomer. And to be an overcomer is to get the result that God himself wants in every situation. And you are an overcomer in the name of Jesus. Amen. So together, I am an overcomer, and everybody say,
so am I. I am meaning to overcome. I am more than God. Therefore, I am an overcomer in the name of Jesus Christ.
Amen. Can you wave to somebody and say, good afternoon, overcomer? Amen. Even those of you online, good afternoon, and God bless you. Today we are wrapping up, as it were, our discussions on our series for the month of August, Breaking Backlog Barriers. I've considered four major subjects. I'm not going to go over them. I don't have the time for it. But our media is doing an awesome job. Let's put our hands together for them. Tia and the one or two persons that are working with them, they have those messages recorded. And you can listen to them again and again online. So even if you don't get a CD, which many of us don't care about anymore, you can always carry that with you. It's important that we listen to it again and again so that we can remember what we're sharing. And of course, we encourage you to share that with other people, share that with your friends, so that you can be an evangelist that way. Today, our subject is be occupied with your responsibility. So we're saying that in order not to allow your spiritual will to be clogged, in order to remove the backlog so that you can function as you should, so that I can function as I should, that I should be occupied with my responsibility, which means that I need to know what God expects of me and keep at it. And if I keep at it the way I should, then I will not become complacent. Then there will be no backlog in my spiritual will. And there shall not be backlog in your spiritual will again, ever, in the name of Jesus. You see, you might not have received a call or a revelation, say you are an evangelist, or you are a prophet, or you are this or that. But every person who is a child of God has a responsibility. Just like many of us have children or we are children, you simply know a child who is responsible and a child who is not. Am I right? Yeah, you don't need no prophet to tell you. They tell you about that child, you'll be like, that one. You don't need to tell her anything or tell him anything. She knows what to do and she does it. Amen. That's a responsible child. Amen, somebody. So there are certain things that God expects of us. So that's what we're talking about today. It's not, oh, I didn't receive a revelation. No. If you're a child of God, there are certain things that you need to do. If you stay occupied with those things, your spiritual will not be clogged. There'll be no backlog. And there are so many things that God expects us to do as his children, but there are a few that stands out. There are few that are like number one, number two, number three, that you just know that if you are saved, that's what you're expected to be doing. Amen? Not going to have the time to talk about all of them, so I'm just going to narrow it down and let's stay with one. The one primary agenda that I believe is a responsibility for every believer is to pray. You don't need to receive a calling to be a prayer warrior. You don't need to receive some revelation. It is just part of our calling, part of our relationship to be children of God, that is that we should be prayerful. Amen? You know, sometimes some of us are looking for supernatural keys, supernatural revelation, something special that is going to get us to the next level. But the answer is right in front of us if we take it and use it. Reminds me of a story, which I think some of you would have heard in different ways, of a man who went to a restaurant to eat. You know, in these days and age, we carry our iPad with us, we carry our cell phones and stuff like that. So he got to the restaurant and ordered the food, and he discovered that he was not able to use his iPad, you know, in order to do the little work he wanted to do while eating. So he asked the waiter, or waitress, that's what they call them, right? What is the password, the Wi-Fi password for this restaurant? Because I need to get something done. And that one simply said, eat first. Look at her like, I know I need to eat, but I need the password. The lady had moved on. So a little while later, another waiter was coming by. So he signaled to her and said, please, I need the password for the restaurant here because I need to get something done. That one said, eat first. Now he was getting a little annoyed. Like, what kind of a restaurant is this? I know I need to eat, but I need the password so that I can get something done. Anyway, he ate his food and got his check and stood online to pay. This time was getting really annoyed because he couldn't get anything done. And he noticed the little badge on the person who was collecting the cashier, right? And he says, manager. So he said, good. So I'm going to report these two rude waiters. As he got closer, he noticed there was a little sign by the cashier. And the sign said, Wi-Fi password, eat first. So all this time, they have told him what the answer was, but it didn't make sense. So he was looking for something special. He missed the answer. Tell me what it was. Now, my friends, what we're saying is that you say, I believe that sometimes we're looking for God to reveal some supernatural answer. But he has already told us what the answer is. He has already told us what the keys are. But sometimes he said that we're not listening, or we think it's too simple, or for some reason we just didn't get it. So we miss the answer. He couldn't get his work done. The first person told him the password. Eat first. What is my responsibility as a child of God? What are the things that would help my spiritual will to keep moving? The scripture tells us as children of God, we must learn to pray. And sometimes we go, pray, that's it. Is there something else I need to do? No, pray, that's it. Because the things that God has called us to do, my friends, they are things that he only can do. But he needs us to be in the end on our own location praying. And then prayer can move the spiritual will. Isaiah chapter 62 gives us a very powerful picture of where we need to be and how our prayer can and will change things if we follow this simple instruction. So if you're with me, I'm going to verse number 1 through 3 of Isaiah chapter 62. And our first subject, our first subtitle there is promise of deliverance. Everyone say promise of deliverance. You see, the Lord promised deliverance to Zion, deliverance to Jerusalem. And friend, you can put your name there. Deliverance to the city of Patterson. Deliverance to the state of New Jersey. Deliverance to the state of New York. Deliverance to the United States. God has promised deliverance. I don't know about you, but if there's any time we need God's supernatural intervention, is now. This COVID thing notwithstanding, every time I turn on the radio in New York, it boggles my mind. The shootings that are going on, the killings that are going on, and even people trying to wreck people in broad daylight. Yesterday they said a man was trying to rape a woman at a train station, 11 a.m., when people were waiting for the train to come. She pushed the woman down and climbed on top of her, where everybody else was looking at her, looking at them. What in the world can be in people's mind? So the other passengers have to come and help her and push her. He gets up and runs away. 11 a.m. at the train station. The world is getting crazier and crazier. Of course, we don't need to talk about the riots that are going on, the police shootings, and all of that that's happening to us, people of color, minority. Not a politician, I'm not going there, but these are things that we cannot ignore. They are the reality of our time. Now, young people go out and you're praying that they come back. Just go into the corner store to get something simple. Gunfire is going back and forth. Friends, we have a responsibility. God has placed us here for a reason. Look up with me, look up with me. Look at what the scripture says, Isaiah 62. Here's what it says, beginning from verse number 1. It says, for Zion's sake, I will not hold my peace. And for Jerusalem's sake, I will not rest. Somebody say, I will not hold my peace. Say, I will not rest. Say, I will not hold my peace. Say, I will not rest. The scripture says, for Zion's sake, I will not hold my peace. I will not rest. Theologians were arguing as I studied whether it was God speaking here, or whether it was a prophet speaking, or whether it was an angel speaking. So they have all kinds of theological argument behind it. But most of them do agree, however, that it must have been God speaking to the prophet, letting him know what he needs to do, because God has placed him here as the man of the hour. Friend, you are the man on the hour. You are the person at the scene. You are the person at the location. Watch what the word of God says. He said, for Zion's sake, I will not keep quiet, or I will not hold my peace. For Jerusalem's sake, I will give him no rest. Who is it that God has placed on your mind that you will say, for the sake of this person, I will not hold my peace? What situation has God laid on your heart that you say, for the sake of this situation, I will not give him any rest? Friends, if you don't have a body, friends, if you don't have something that troubles you, if you don't have something that you are restless about, you're probably not living in the real world. Because every person in this day and age, just looking at what is happening, should be troubled. And the scripture says the answer is not to be afraid. The answer is not to join the bandwagon of the complainant. The answer is not to lock yourself
being fear behind closed doors. The answer is to get in the face of God. That God is looking for men and women that will get in God's face. I said, for this reason, I will not rest. For this reason, I will give him no rest. God, until you answer, I am not going to stop. Somebody has a child that you're complaining about. He's not doing this, he's not doing that. Get in the face of God. Somebody has a situation that is not going away. Get in the face of God. Somebody lives in a city that is not safe. Get in the face of God. Somebody lives in this country where the future is not sure. Get in God's face. That's what the Bible says. Right? God has called us in this day, in this age, to get in God's face. Somebody say, I will give him no rest. Talk to this company. Say, I will give him no rest. Say, I will give him no peace. I don't know whose name you need to put there. Put somebody's name there. Put a situation there. Say, for this reason, God, I'm not giving you any rest. Somebody needs to whisper a prayer right now. In the name of Jesus, let the Spirit of God wake you up. Let the Spirit of God steer us up to be men and women that will get in God's face over and over and over and over. The Word of God says, for Zion's sake, I will not hold my peace. Some of the reason why, some of the things are happening, not moving at the speed at which they need to move. Some of us are too quiet. Heaven is not hearing our voice. We are not knocking hard enough. Friends, it's time. And he says this, I will not rest until the righteousness thereof goes as brightness. The prophet was simply saying, I'll pray until something happens. Somebody say, I'll pray until something happens. Yeah, no sense to say it again. Say, I'll pray until something happens. Now, what is that situation? Yeah, you prayed about it yesterday, pray again today. You pray about it in the morning, pray again. That's what the Word of God says. It said, I will not stop until. Somebody say, until. What is that situation that you can put in that line? Say, I will not stop until. I don't know what that is. I don't know what that is. I don't know what that need is. I don't know who it is that God has placed on your heart. That you are burdened enough that you can say, I will not stop praying until he gets saved. I will not pray until he gets filled with the Holy Ghost. I will not stop praying until this changes. Friends, you and I need to be hungry enough to refuse to let the enemy discourage us. Deliverance is promised, as you say. But the deliverance will not happen if you and I are not praying. It's very clear in that passage of scripture. Until you pray, until I pray, verse 2 cannot happen. Verse 2 says, then the Gentiles shall see thy righteousness and kings thy glory, and thou shalt be called a new name. That new name is not coming if the answer has not been released. And until somebody cries, the answer is not going to be released. But I speak today to every situation, to every child, to every difficulty, you shall get a new name. Okay, somebody help me right. You help me right. I say, in the name of Jesus, you shall receive an answer. You shall get a new name. If I were you now, I will call one problem and call it a new name. I will call one child and I will call it a new name. Right now, say, in the name of Jesus, I put this situation in your hands and I call it a new name. And I'm not going to stop until that new name becomes a reality. That's where God wants us to get to. Somebody bless the name of the Lord. Until a new name is pronounced, I'm not stopping. Friends, we have bought into this unbiblical Christianity. The things will always be simple and easy. From Old Testament to the Middle Testament and to the New Testament. You know, there's no Middle Testament at this point. But hear me, friends. There's no place in the scripture where it tells us that you can win a battle without fighting. Every battle you will win, you have to fight it. But here's the difference. You don't fight with your strength, or you go to fight. You don't fight with your ability, but you must get in the arena and fight. The army of Israel cowered under the trees and under the rocks for 40 days with all their armor with them until little David showed up with a sling and some faith in his heart. And some notorious giant shows up. And the little boy said, I'm coming against you in the name of the God of Israel that you have defied. Goliath will not have come down, friends, until somebody steps in the arena. I pray in the name of Jesus that you will learn to step in the arena. I say, I'm not leaving until this giant comes down. Because I'm not doing it by myself. I'm doing it with the strength of God. But guess what? Satan, if you think somebody's going to move, I give you a good guess. I'm not the one moving. Somebody put your hands together. Tell the devil, you cannot scare me. I know what the word of God says. When the people of God cry, God answered. Friends, Anna would have remained barren. There would have not been a Samuel if somebody called Anna did not go into the temple and say, I need a son. I need a child. They call me barren outside, but I need a child. They say, I will never have a child, but you can give me a child. And the Bible said that woman prayed like a crazy woman. But when she was kneeling, she was already pregnant. Because she was sick, but she knew it. Because she had learned to stay in the presence of God. I will not hold my peace. I will not be quiet. That's what the scripture said. Friends, the devil is a loser. The devil is a liar. You must learn to enter into the place where your power is. Friends, hear me. You know the story. The children of Israel would have perished in Shushan if Esther did not arise. Esther says, somebody pray. Somebody pray. And I'm going into the presence of the king. And the scripture says, Jesus, you perish. Friends, you could be afraid. I don't think Esther was not afraid. She was. But she said, fear will not stop me. They told Esther, money is already in the account. The deal is already signed. There's no point praying. Esther said, I'll pray. And then somebody said, I'll pray. Come on, somebody said, I'll pray. Esther said, I refuse to be discouraged. And she stood in the gap. And today, years later, we're celebrating Esther. Your generation shall celebrate you. Generation after you shall celebrate you. In the name of Jesus. Because there will be something that will be recorded in the history of your family that will say that you stood in the gap and that you prayed and that God intervened. God answered your prayer. I said, you shall be celebrated in the name of Jesus. Friends, living in time more than before, that God is looking for people who will knock and keep knocking and keep knocking and keep knocking. Say, I'm not living here until the door opens. The doors will open for you. Your spiritual wills not to be clogged. You have to come with that determination. And the more you pray, the more stubborn that child becomes. Keep on praying. The more you pray, the worse that situation becomes. Keep on praying. The more you pray, the more it looks like you're getting farther from the solution. Keep on praying. That's what the word of God says. Until. We pour our energy onto a lot of other things. But what is critical? I pray today in the name of Jesus that as we step into a new month, that your spirit man will be fired up, that your altar will be cleaned up, that there will be fire burning in the morning, there will be fire burning in the afternoon, there will be fire burning at night on your altar in the name of Jesus. Friends, there are some things that will not burn until you are on fire. Oh, you didn't hear that. I'll say it again. You see, the fire that will burn the things that you are praying for will come from you. When God sees you on fire, that fire. You know how fire does sometimes. Sometimes it's not just what is burning that is affected. Everything burns up. The Holy Ghost finds a place on the inside of a child of God. Everywhere you go, things start burning. I say, everywhere you go, things start burning. I say, everywhere you go, things start burning. I know, well, how did it happen? Because there's some fire burning on the inside of the child. Hear me, friends. God is giving us a key we're not using yet. I pray today. I'm not looking at time. Forget it. That's all I get to talk about. I'll stop there. But hear me, friends. It is important that every child of God will be on fire. Somebody say, God, set me on fire. Say it again, pray that prayer. Say, Holy Ghost, set me on fire. Set me on fire from the inside. Burn me up. Burn the laziness up. Burn the chaos up. Burn the distraction up. Burn them up, Lord God. In the name of Jesus. That's the place that the child of God needs to be. That's where the church of today has to be in order to prepare. Yes, sir. Wickedness is increasing. Yes, sir. And you think we're going to make a difference with staying like this?
No.
Everybody thinks that you're living, what they say, in La La Land. This land right here. Now, look at what's happening around you. How do you think that's going to change? Somebody got to be on fire. Church need to be on fire. We need to have an altar that is burning. And on our behalf, the city of Patterson will begin to change. Our streets will begin to change. The gone men and gone women will say, no, Patterson, I ain't going there. That church is down there. No, I'm not going that way. That they will walk by you and drop their gun and run. Yeah, friends. Listen. You do not fight a giant by trying to appease them. Can you imagine what would have happened if David said, Goliath, please?
please, can you change your mind? You know, we're not ready now. I'm too young. You see, all the soldiers are afraid. Please, what do you think would have happened? You don't face a giant by trying to appease them. You face a giant with a fire that is greater than the one they carry.
Yes.
And the fire you have is greater than all the fire that all the demons on the face of the earth will get. Use it. Use it. Use it. I say use it in the name of Jesus. Friends, we need to be scared as believers. You see things happen and they happen again and again the exact same way. And then you think if you do it the exact same way, you get a different result. No. Let me see if I can touch on number two. Whatever I get to, I tell you, I will stop. As a promise of restoration, according to verse number four. Now look at what the scripture says. It said, it will no longer be said of you abandoned, nor will it any longer be said of your land desolate. If you get a picture of what was happening, let me see if I can paint the picture for you. The prophecy is about Zion. Is that right? We don't have any revelation, verse 1 says that. And Zion is in Jerusalem. You understand those two? Both of those are clear in verse 1. Zion is the headquarter. It's like if you talk about, what do I say? New Jersey. The headquarter of New Jersey is in Trenton. If you talk about the city of Madison, the seat of authority is in Market Street. Is that right? So you say, Madison, Market Street. Anybody who's around here, when you say that, they know where the power is, the political authority. Now watch this. He says, part of the thing that is interesting in this scripture, and every time you see Zion and Jerusalem together, watch this, is the fact that Zion was the spiritual seat. You listen to this? Of David. Now, in the days before Zion was conquered, some strong tribe lived there. And the story had it in Samuel. No way there now. They heard that David was conquering other cities. So they sent their soldiers. There's not like today that you can send a phone call. They sent their soldiers to David. We heard that you are conquering other cities, but we in here were too strong for you. So don't even bother coming. David said, say it again. He said, our city is too strong for you. So you can conquer other people, but here, don't come. David said, okay, get ready. I'm coming. Read the scripture. I love the man like David. So David went and fought them. Defeated them. I say, you know what I'm going to do now? I put my headquarters here. That's how Zion came. David said, you dare me? I come with a greater one than you. He is the God of the heavens. So David established that place and established the city there. And if you read in the New Testament, so be a little bit, okay? Zion speaks of the church. Okay. Can I say it again?
Yes.
Zion is a symbolism in the New Testament for the church.
Amen.
Okay, here is the point that should break your heart and breaks my heart every time I read it. But as at this time, remember David is finished and gone. You remember that? We're in Isaiah now. As at this time, A city that's supposed to be the most powerful place was now in bondage.
Where power emanated from
was now conquered. Anybody get a picture of what the Holy Ghost wants to do?
Not only that, look at verse 3 again. I mean, verse number 4. Put it up on the screen. Let's do it quickly and say, yes, it's all there. Everybody look at it. What does it say?
It said, it will no longer be said to you forsaken.
Okay, let's do a little discussion here.
So if you say, it will no longer be said to you forsaken, which means what? Talk to me. Which means, as at this time, you are already being called what? Do you understand it? And that's very simple. Right?
If it's no longer going to happen, it means as at the time I'm speaking right now,
you're forsaken. That's how you look like.
Now look at it. Nor to your land will it any longer be said what? Which means as at now, what you look like is what?
You're not talking to me.
So you look like you are forsaken. You look like you are desolate. Some that is desolate is some that is not good. When you have a land that is a desolate land, it's dry.
Some of your other translations say that.
It's like a desert, an arid place. No rain, no water, no plant.
Jerusalem.
In the spiritual, that's how the people Isaiah was prophesying to. That's how they were. Are you getting the picture?
Yes.
So they were like abandoned and desolate. Even though that's not what they were supposed to be. Now here's the good news. God said, I'm going to reverse it.
Somebody say, God reverse it.
Say it again. That's a prayer. Say, God reverse it. In the name of Jesus. You need something reverse in your life. Say it again. Say it again. You need somebody's life reverse. Say it again. Say it again. You need something in your head to be turned around. The set is sickness. God reverse it. The set is abandoned. God reverse it. The set cannot change. God change it in the name of Jesus. God said, I'm going to reverse it, but I need to hear your voice first. God said, I'm going to turn it around, but I want to see if you really want it to be turned around.
You want something turned around. I'm waiting for somebody to cry.
God reverse it. God reverse it. Make sure something. Lord reverse it. You say it will no longer be as it is. Lord, this situation, I speak to it in the name of Jesus. Turn it around in the name of Jesus. Reverse it in Jesus' name. Praise. God said, I'm going to reverse it.
Now, guess what? And look at the beauty of the names it's given. It's supposed to record, my delight is in her, and your land married. For the Lord delights in you, and to him your land will be married. Now, God uses the metaphor of marriage intentionally. You know what that is? Somebody say strong relationship. Say it again. Say strong relationship. Say it one more time. Say strong relationship.
God said, I'm going to reverse this, and the relationship is going to change. Anybody want a relationship to change that?
Come on, speak to God.
In the name of Jesus, my son and your relationship might change. My daughter and your relationship must change.
Somebody's not praying.
Begin to speak to that situation. In the name of Jesus, that relationship must change beginning now. You need to be that crazy, friends, to look at a desolate land and say it's going to be the land of God. A delight, says the word of God. A place where God is going to go and say, I live in.
You know why? Because it has changed. I prophesy to every desert in your life. I say, I speak
to every abandoned situation in your life. I speak a restoration right now in the name of Jesus. What God says is a promise restoration. That promise must be activated by somebody's voice going up to heaven. Cancel meeting is going on, but a voice is crying. And then they keep coming and say, God, can you hear that voice? Wait a minute. And then it goes back. My voice is still there. Come back to God and say, Father, the voice is still there. The meeting is still going on. He said, Father, that voice has not stopped yet. So, okay, let me hear. Let me know what it's time to say. That's what the scripture is saying. Friends, God wants to bring his church back alive. God will never abandon his church, but there is a system that God has set in place in order for the church to be revived and restored. And it is that every child of God will know what their responsibility is in a place of prayer, and they will not abandon it. I'm not done, but I'm going to stop. I'm going to read two more verses, and we'll be praying. I want to read verse number 6 and verse number 7. And that says, prophet's position. I love this. Give me verse number 6 and 7. We're going to read that and scratch it a little bit. And then we'll pray. Everybody looking up? Now, read it. Everybody, want to go? On your walls, O Jerusalem, I have appointed watchmen. Watch this now. Read it carefully. Say what? All day and all night. Let's do that again. All day and all night. Do one more time. All day and all night. They will never keep silent. You who remind the Lord, take no rest. For yourself, he says, give me the next verse. That's the last one we're reading. And it says what? And give him no rest. It comes again. Until he establishes and makes Jerusalem a praise in the earth. I wish I have enough time, but watch this. You see, in the days of old, every major city had a wall. Some were more powerful than the other. The average wall on a city was 2 feet. Okay? So you can walk on top of the wall. They did that partly because of this. So they can position their watchmen. So their watchmen will be walking on this 2 feet wide wall, looking to the left and looking to the right, seeing whether there's an enemy coming. In fact, extra biblical study tells us that some of the walls or some of the cities were big and wide enough for a horse carriage to drive over it, which means it's big enough for your car to drive on top of the wall. Those rich walls, those rich nations, rich cities built big walls so that many watchmen can stand there. So they can position themselves on top of the wall and hit the enemy before he gets into the city. Somebody's getting where I'm going. You're getting where I'm going with this. Okay, stop me. Are you getting that one? The position of the watchman is they can spot the enemy from far. Somebody say number one. They can position themselves for attack. Somebody say number two. And they can release their own armor before the enemy shoots. Somebody say number three. I hope you're getting ready. Are you getting ready for this? You're getting ready for this. You need to be on your feet right now. We're going to pray. We're going to pray. The Bible says, I have positioned you on top of the wall. Somebody walk around. Somebody walk around. See yourself on top of the wall of your family. On top of the wall in the life of that child. On top of the wall over Rock Foundation Ministry. And the Bible says, because you are on top of the wall, the enemy is not supposed to get in here. Somebody needs to get ready to fire now. Say, in the name of Jesus. Say now, in the name of Jesus. Say it again, in the name of Jesus. Every enemy that is coming against me. Say one more time. Every enemy that is coming against me, I release the arrow of God. Break and tempo yakata. You need to pray. I need to pray. Every enemy that is coming against you, because you're on top of the wall, march around like a soldier and begin to attack the enemy. Begin to bring them down because you're in a position of advantage. Reke yakata. Reke yakata rukata. Mongo no reke te yakata. In the name of Jesus. Pray that you're angry. Pray that you have a bow in your hand. Pray that you have a machine gun in your hand and begin to shoot in the camp of the enemy. Satan, I bring you down. Every demon trying to attack my family, I bring you down. All the forces coming against the worker in the Rock Foundation Ministry, I bring you down. Somebody pray. Over the city of Madison, all you demonic forces trying to ruin this city, we come against you. Rakaya katala kato, lekeya katari kata, rakata lekete, broko I katari kaya. In the name of Jesus. Somebody pray. That situation, the devil said it cannot be solved. You are on the wall. You have all the armor you need. Shoot at the devil. Reke yakata palokoto. Reke tete rakata. Reke yakata. Rende mo seke. Rakata reke tete kata. In the name of Jesus. Break it down. Scatter the enemy. Break it down. Scatter the enemy. Break it down. Break it down. Who said you cannot take? Who said you cannot tolerate? Break the wall, Kayakata. Break the wall, Thank you. Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. Who said it cannot say? Who said that wall cannot be broken? Who said that door cannot open? God has placed you in position. Break it there. 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 In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. Thank you, Father. In Jesus' name. It's in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Friends, we have an advantage that the devil knows. And he's very scared that if we discover what we know, if we discover what we have, he knows that he's no match for us. So he does everything to keep us ignorant. Somebody say, I'm no longer ignorant. Say it again, I'm no longer ignorant. You are in an advantage position with all the weapons of the heavens. In the name of Jesus. We're praying. Begin to pray for this church. I know you pray for your home already. Begin to pray. Say, every enemy that is set around against the work of God in this church, we bring you down. We bring you down. Somebody pray. We bring you down. Every enemy against the work of God in the Rock Foundation Ministry, today we cause you to come down. We declare war against you. We scatter your place. We disarm you in the name of Jesus. Somebody pray. Rekete polakata. Rekete polakata. Rekata rekata. Mangere rekete rekete negosikala. Rekete rekete polikata rekete. In Jesus' name. Hallelujah. I pray for the city of Christ. But there is no violence in this city. We are starting today. Somebody say, in the name of Jesus. Say it again, in the name of Jesus. Every spirit of violence in this city. Rakaikata, begin to pray. Begin to arrest them. Begin to bring them down. The sickness where you need. Begin to bind those demonic forces. God has called us here. We insist. Yeah, with the peace in Palestine. We insist. We cannot move out for the devil to move in. The devil will have to leave. Somebody pray. Somebody pray. In the name of Jesus. Lift up your voice against coronavirus. We refuse to be scared. Yes, we shall be wiser, but God has kept us this far. Begin to bind the demons and the forces behind this demonic force and all other sickness. In the name of Jesus, all you powers and principalities behind coronavirus, we bind, somebody declare, we bind you, we incapacitate you, we frustrate you, we paralyze you. Let me have a number of you. Be that a catalyst. Let me have a number of you. But I need a number of you. Even the name of Jesus, God has kept us this far. Coronavirus, you cannot overcome us. The blood of Jesus covers us. Let me in the name of Jesus. Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. In the name of Jesus. In the same way. In the same way. We pray for Justin Brown. We pray for Justin Brown. Bishop Sauce. Call him by name. Justin, you shall not die. Justin, you shall not die. You will live. In the name of Jesus, somebody pray. Pray. No, we shall not die. Oh, bury that boy. In the name of Jesus. We declare, I say, God, we shall not bury Justin. His father will not know his burial place. It is contrary to the work and the will of God. Don't be gentle about it. Redeemed the most. Redeemed the Kara Katama Yekede. My proposed the Kate Bolu Kara. My Rebolo Kondo Bosikreta. Redeemed the most. Karika Alabakoria. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. Thank you, Holy Ghost. Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. I bless your name. I worship you. In the name of Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Somebody begin to bless the name of the Lord. Put your hands together and just begin to worship Him. Use a prayer answering God. Yes, thank you, thank you, thank you. Somebody.